Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever been driving around and you hear your car making a noise it never made before? And so you take it to the mechanic and the mechanic looks at it for a long time. And then the mechanic comes out. You're trying to read his face, but he doesn't have an expression. And he's one of those people that's tough to read. And then he says that sentence, the sentence we all hate to hear. I think it's one of the most ominous sentences in the English language. I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. It sounds like that phrase should be 50-50, but for some reason it's a scary phrase. I don't know about you, but I start to get worried because it sounds like an expensive phrase. The reason it's a scary phrase is because as humans we have a negativity bias, which is a fancy way of saying bad news has more of an impact on us than good news. If we get 10 compliments in a day and one criticism, guess which one we remember before we go to bed at night? The criticism. That's the way we are wired. Now, I'm not your mechanic. I am your pastor. And today we're talking about one of the most important verses in the Bible, verse many of you know by heart, Romans 6:23. And based on that verse, as your pastor, I have to be honest with you. I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. So let's start with the bad news first. The bad news, first part of Romans 6:23 is really bad news. It's actually the worst news in the history of the human race. The first part of Romans 6:23 is the wages of sin is death. Now, it's not just bad news, it's horrible news. It's fatal news. It's the worst news we can possibly receive because sin is a disease that is 100% fatal and we are all infected with it. Romans 3:23 says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. According to the Bible, sin is not one of the problems for human beings. It is the problem for human beings. So let me share with you that bad news, that horrible news. Let me share with you three reasons why sin is our ultimate problem. Number one, sin makes us slaves. Romans 6:17 says, but thanks be to God that you who once were slaves of sin became obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. Sin makes us slaves. As Americans, we love freedom, we hate slavery, and rightfully so. Slavery is evil. We are made by God to live in freedom. But there's a different kind of slavery, an even worse form of slavery than political slavery, and that's spiritual slavery. We, according to Romans 6, were once slaves of sin. According to John 8, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Whoever sins is a slave to sin. Sin makes us slaves to whom? Well, to our sinful nature, the sinful nature that you and I are born with. The sinful nature is a cruel master. It never asks, it only demands. It promises everything. It gives back nothing. And it is never, ever, 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 ever satisfied. It just wants more and more and more. And to get more and more and more, it will destroy every good thing in your life to get what it wants. We all are becoming more and more aware of the destructive power of addiction, how addiction can destroy relationships, families, bank accounts, health, entire lives. We see how addiction to drugs or chemicals or pleasures or gambling destroys people's lives. And of course, all of that is rooted in sin because sin is the ultimate addiction. It's the ultimate source of all other addictions. And it's one, well, it's the addiction we cannot overcome by ourselves. We need help and we can't do it ourselves. Sin is an addiction that will rob us of everything that truly gives us happiness and joy. First of all, sin makes us slaves. Number two, sin brings pain. Genesis 3:16 says, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. If there's one thing that scares us more than addiction, it's pain. All of us hate pain. All of us do everything we can to avoid pain, but it's impossible. In this world, pain is everywhere. In this world, pain is unavoidable. Each and every one of us is going to suffer pain. Physical pain, emotional pain, pain in our relationships, spiritual pain. It's part of the price of living in this world. But where does all that pain and suffering come from? Well, you know, Genesis 3, right? After the very first sin in the Garden of Eden, God told Eve, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children." Genesis 3:16. Before that time, Adam and Eve had no idea what pain was. They had never experienced pain. They had never experienced disease. They had never experienced broken bones. They had never experienced bruises or injuries. They had never even experienced what a headache feels like. But that all changes in Genesis chapter 3 when sin comes into the world. Now, as descendants of Adam and Eve, as their children, all of us have to endure pain and suffering. 100% of us, even with modern medicine, even with all this technology God has given to us, pain and suffering is a constant in human life. Sin brings slavery, sin brings pain, but don't worry, the bad news gets even worse because Romans 6:23 gives us the worst news of all. The wages of sin is death. It doesn't just bring addiction and slavery. It doesn't just bring pain and suffering. No, the worst thing that sin brings is death itself. And of course, because we are all sinners, death comes to everyone. Romans 5:12 says, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." The death that it's talking about there is not just physical death, but spiritual death. Separation from God and hell for eternity. The wages of sin is death. That's physical and eternal death. By the way, even worse news, the word wage means that we've earned it. We brought it on ourselves. The wage is what? Your paycheck, right? Something you've earned for yourself. What have we earned? Through our sin, we've earned slavery and pain and death. Separation from God for all of eternity. And there is nothing you and I can do about it. I told you it's bad news, the worst news you're going to hear all day. But I wanted you to notice something really important, the punctuation. Three little dots. It's called an ellipsis. It means that there is more to come. I put down the first part of the verse, but that's not the end of the verse. God still has something more to say. In fact, the very next word is going to change everything. The next word is a small but powerful word. Three-letter word, B-U-T, but. It's a small and powerful word. In Greek, it's even smaller, D-E-D-E. But just because it's small, don't underestimate it. This word changes everything. You know the power of that word, don't you? We use it all the time. We know that if someone uses that three-letter word, but, it means you can totally ignore the first part of the sentence, right? You know, when someone says, "You know, normally I don't like to complain, but," well, you know what's coming next, don't you? Sometimes going to do some big time complaining in a big way. You can ignore the first part. The second part is going to trump it. The second trump part is the really important part. Here in Romans 6:23, that three-letter word means that God's not done yet. God's not finished yet. The bad news does not have the final word. God is going to have the final word. Yes, we've just heard the very worst news in history, but God still has something to say. He's not finished yet. What God has to say is going to trump everything. We heard the first part. What God has to say is going to blow it out of the water, blow that bad news out of the water. What God has going to say is going to completely overwhelm all the bad news in the first part. God is about to tell us the good news, the great news, the best news of all, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of what Jesus Christ gives us, a free gift. In fact, that very word gospel means good news, and it is good news, the best news of all. Jesus Christ has overcome sin. Sin brings slavery, but Christ gives us freedom as a free gift. Galatians 5:1, "But for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." We rightly celebrate freedom in this country. Freedom is the ability to say no to someone or say no to yourself. If you can't say no to someone's orders, then you're a slave. If you can't say no to your cravings and desires, well, that's the definition of an addict. An addiction is the ultimate form of slavery. If you can't say no to your sinful nature, you are, as Jesus says, a slave to sin. but Jesus Christ has come to set you free. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. John 8 says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus wants us to understand we have been set free. He has come to set free the slaves. He has come to set us free from sin and from addiction and from the sinful nature. That's the good news of the gospel. We live in freedom. Now, Paul does talk about being a slave of righteousness in Romans 6, but we have to understand that the right way. He's not talking about, once again, being enslaved in our hearts and minds, but what we have through Christ and through his Spirit is the power to live a life of love and service. Not because we have to, but because we want to, because we get to. That's not slavery, that's love. And love is real freedom. Galatians 5:13, for you are called to freedom, brothers, but don't use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Christ gives us freedom. Number two, sin brings pain, but Christ gives us meaning. In Romans chapter 5, 3 and 4, it says, we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that the suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Pain is part of living in this world. We know that. As long as we live here on earth, we will have to live with Adam and Eve's legacy, which is pain and suffering and eventually death. But Christ brings meaning to our suffering. Now, God doesn't like suffering and pain any more than you or I do, but God can use pain and suffering to transform our lives for the better. God never wastes a hurt. He can and does use even our sufferings for good purposes. Suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint us. God can use even our suffering for good purposes. That's not to say God likes suffering. He doesn't. We know that because suffering was not part of his original creation, and it is not going to be part of heaven. John writes in Revelation 21, God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. Notice there's no more pain, no more tears, and one more thing, there's no more death. And that's the best news of all. Christ gives us eternal life. Sin brings slavery, but Christ gives us freedom. Sin brings pain, but Christ gives us meaning. Sin brings death, but Christ gives life, and not just any kind of life, eternal life. Wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Romans 6:23. Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, gives us the gift of everlasting life. Notice, this is not a wage. This is not something we can earn. It is the free gift of God in Christ Jesus. It is given to us not because we've done some good works, not because we've made God happy, not because we're making a deal or negotiating with God. It is given to us entirely as a free gift, entirely by faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior. This is the gospel, the good news, the great news, the best news of all. And it outweighs any bad news that comes before it. It completely trumps the bad news at the beginning of Romans 6:23. It completely blows it out of the water. So today, to be honest, I've got good news and bad news for you. But compared to the good news, the bad news is small and insignificant. Romans chapter 8 says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. In the world, we have a life of bad news. There's addiction, suffering, and death. But through the good news of the gospel, Jesus Christ has overcome sin, he's overcome pain, he's overcome suffering, and he's even overcome death itself, so that you and I might have eternal life with Jesus Christ in heaven forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.